Okay. So like what Pastor Weong mentioned, we're going to do a 4-week series based on Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that gives the name of Jesus, well, gives Jesus the name, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Actually, the Christmas Eve service is on a Saturday, not a Sunday. Just a little bit of correction over there. So Saturday, 4 to 6, we're going to have some special performances, friends and families, and Christmas will definitely end it with food. So that'll be a good time. Okay? So I will start off with Wonderful Counselor today, and Pastor Richard will take over the next 3 weeks, ending it with Prince of Peace. Now, how will understanding these four names change our lives? I don't know. As I'm preparing this message, I think God is beginning to do something in me already. So let's see what God and the Holy Spirit will do to you. All right. I believe that once you understand the four names of Jesus, it will take you to a whole new level of living, loving, and leading. All right. So in honor of the Word of God, why don't we stand and then we'll read our key scriptures. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, everybody together, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Father, we thank you for this morning, O Lord God. Father, we thank you for the Christmas season, O Lord. That God, where you came to give life to us, O Lord. Lord, I pray, O Lord God, Father, Lord, that you anoint me, O Lord, Father, to speak forth your word. I pray, O Lord God, Father, that the Holy Spirit will use the words, O Lord, Father, to speak to every person, Lord, Father, even though it may be a word that is coming from the stage, but God, through the Holy Spirit, you can touch every heart in your way, O Lord God, Father, that you need to, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Have a seat. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Well, if we look at the scripture closely, it says, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Okay? It says, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Not just a characteristic, but his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. It's like, you know me, I can cook a mean curry chicken. For those of you who have tasted it, you will say, yeah. But I'm not a chef. You know? Being able to do something does not make me a chef. Well, if you think about who are the top chefs in New Zealand, Peter Gordon, Al Brown, Simon Gall, they are not just somebody who can cook. They are chef, right? Proven. They carry the title. That's who they are. And that's what Jesus is, you know. It's not just, Jesus is not somebody who is just, can give you some good counsel. But he is a wonderful counselor. When Isaiah wrote the word wonderful, it carries the different connotations from how we are using the word wonderful right now. You know, nowadays, we use the word wonderful. It could be like, wow, that's a wonderful meal. Wonderful, your families are here, Paul. That's great. That's really wonderful. Well, Sam, you got a wonderful job. Too bad you can't go to the sports camp, but you got a wonderful job. Oh, it must be killing that young man down there. It's like, oh, his buddies are all down there, but he has to work. Welcome to the working world. Most of us understand what that means. That's all right. Well, we use it quite loosely, don't we? Wonderful. Well, the original Hebrew meaning of wonderful actually means extraordinary, astonishing, incomprehensible, marvelous, miraculous. You know, it's not just something loose that we use. It's really to describe something that is wonder, and you're full of wondering what is actually that. Well, never mind. Similarly, if we look at the word counselor nowadays, we think of maybe therapist. You know, when you go and see a therapist, or we can think of a school or university counselors, right? Something that goes probably like this. Mr. Hammond, I can cook a really good curry. I can go cook roast curry, curry pies, and I can cook the curry ice cream. I really want to be a chef. And then Mr. Hammond looked at him and said, you want to be a chef? Let me see. You've been taking this teaching course for 6 years. I want to seriously encourage you to think about that. Mr. Hammond, maybe I can teach people how to make curry. You know, we think of that kind of scenarios, you know, people talking and people giving some advice, sitting there full of thoughts. But in the old days, a counselor is somebody that is wise, full of experience, a strategist, somebody that the king actually trusts. I wonder what the king would do if he doesn't have a counselor, right? Maybe he will Google, how do I resolve crime in this nation? And then Google tells you, more police, more money, less money. Or maybe he will go on YouTube, how do I train my soldiers to go to war? You know, I think if the king does not have a counselor, that's probably what he would do. This is what we would do. We'll go to Googles, we go to YouTubes, Wikipedias. Well, Jesus is the wonderful counselor, right? Being a wonderful counselor means Jesus is the extraordinary, astonishing advisor, a strategist that we can trust. He will even give us guidance that may be incomprehensible by any other man. Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9 says that, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. All right. Do you know, based on research, that we make over 35,000 decisions every day? I don't know how they do those research. It's like, what are you thinking? You know, what are you thinking right now? Are you going to work? No. You know, we make 35,000 decisions a day. We think about what to wear on a Sunday at night. We think about what we eat. For the Asians, probably 40,000 for doing that. We think about who to annoy. You know, my kids always think about that. Should I annoy mom or dad today? We think about, what time should I come to church? Should I come on time? Or maybe not. But do you know that every decision that you make has a consequences, whether good or bad? It has a consequence. And sometimes it actually impacts other people. So, but a lot of times when we want to make some of the major decisions, we will actually go to somebody that we trust, a mentor, somebody that has more experience than us. Okay? So may I suggest to you that the first person that you should go to when you have to make some major decisions, not who to annoy, but you know, but some of those major decisions, that Jesus will be the first person that you go to. Well, you look at me, yeah, of course. But let me tell you why. Jesus knows us in and out. Okay. He knows our cultural upbringing. He knows our strength. He knows our struggles. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our tendency. In the Bible, it says, "My sheep hears my voice, and I know them." Right? This is what it looks like. It goes like, meh, meh. Oh, I know that person. Meh, meh. Oh, I know that. I know that girl. Meh, meh. I know that. I know that kid. Every sound that we make, every time we ask Jesus for something, he knows us. All right? He doesn't only just know us, but he knows what's inside of us, what we are made of. John 2:25 says, "And he needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man." Okay. Last Saturday, my son and I, we went for a little father and son getaway. You know, when you're with your daughter, you do a lot of face-to-face, you know, you let them talk and you listen. But for boys, that don't work. It actually feels odd, you know, looking at him. So for father and son, we decided to take a weekend away and we'd have a lot of shoulder-to-shoulder time. We did a lot of trekking, you know, we went and spent some quality time together, and I did the talk with him. But at night, I decided to watch a movie, and I wanted to find a movie that after that I can talk to him about. And that movie is called Facing the Giants. Who has seen that movie before? It's a great, great, great movie. It's a great Christian movie. So I'll show you a little clip. Wow, every time I look at that scene, it stirs something up in me. And I believe that's what Jesus does, you know. He knows us. He knows our capacity. Sometimes we do not even believe that we have those capacity. We do not believe that we have the potential. But Jesus knows. He cheers you on. And because he knows, the counsel that he gives to you, he's not just going to believe that you have, if you say that, oh, I can only do so much. But because Jesus knows you in and out, he will draw out the best in you. You know, in that scene, the coach also says, drawing out that young man leadership. You know, so there are certain potential in us that we do not know, but Jesus, he will pull out your destiny. He will pull out your purpose. If you come to him and get counsel from him, that's what he will do. Who wants to live a mediocre life? Good. Now can I see your hands of who wants to live a life that will fulfill your purpose and your destiny? Awesome. You know, the one who knows us the most will be able to counsel us the best. Right? I'm going to say that again. The one who knows us the most will be able to counsel us the best. Jesus knows us. He knows you. He knows me. It's a cliche to say that God sometimes our answer that will answer. Let me say that again. It's a cliche to say that sometimes God answers our prayer in ways that do not expect. Sometimes he do not even answer our prayers. We call that an unanswered prayer, right? But that's because of the love that he has for us. Jesus loves us so much that we know that he will only give us the best, not just what we ask for. You know, we have to trust that Jesus will always make the right decision for us. Okay. A couple of weeks back, I'm one of the Connect coach. As a Connect coach, you know, I gather around some of the Connect leaders once a month. We encourage one another. We go through a book. We pray for one another. And we listen to praise report in the Connect groups. So I was really encouraged by this testimony. Okay, I don't normally call out names, but I actually want to state, and I was thinking about it, should I say the name of this Connect leader? But I will say it because Jane, one of our Connect leaders, she's a really, really good Connect leader. Jane, she was discipling this new believer. Okay? So they're doing one-to-one, they're praying, and this lady just gave their life to Christ maybe a couple of weeks back. And the lady was praying for a job. So Jane, together with, I'll call another name, Paul. He's sitting there. You know, Jane and Paul were praying for the lady, you know, believing for a job for the lady. A job that is within Auckland. A job that will fulfill the visa requirement for the lady to get the permanent resident. So, but an opening happens. A job was offered to the lady, but it was all the way up north, out of Auckland. So Jane was telling the lady, he said, stay in faith. This may not be the answer that you are looking for. Okay. We pray for something that will fulfill your visas. That's right. But we also say pray for something that's within Auckland. You know, Jane knows how important it is. As a young believer, if the lady goes away, it's going to be so hard to keep in contact. It's going to be so hard to develop, to build biblical foundations with that lady. And who knows what may happen. But they stood together in faith. But the lady was not so sure, you know. She did resign from the job. But as they pray, did you know that the job that she resigned from, they offer her another position that will actually allow her to fulfill her visa. I thank God for Connect leaders who are sensitive enough to be in faith with their people, to keep looking at what is God's best for each and every one of us. I'm telling you this testimony not just because it's Jesus answered prayers, but when our heart intention is to seek Him and to honor Him, Jesus will respond to us. You see, Jesus do not respond to need. He responds to faith. Okay. We may not understand His way, but we can always trust His heart. Right. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Okay. So we may not always understand God's way, but we can always trust that He has His best for us. While it's all good to have Jesus giving us guidance in our work, our financial situation, our family, our ministry, actually those are all secondary. Do you know that? Now, if after this message, all you learned is about coming to God so that you could have a successful business, you are prosper, you have a successful ministry, you have a feel-good family that you can take some pictures and hang on the wall, I think we are missing what God really wants from us. We're really missing the point. The ultimate purpose of all Jesus' counsel is so that we can honor God. The ultimate purpose is so that we can honor God. We can bring glory to Him. So that man can reconcile back to Him. That's why Jesus came. Yes, He came to give life and life more abundantly. But He came to save us. He came so that we can reconcile back to God. You know, we can have all these results that we're looking for, but really, Jesus, a lot of times, He's more concerned of the journey that we are taking rather than the results that we have. All right? If it's a good result, we praise God. If it's not a good result, we still praise God because we know He has His best for us. But what Jesus is really interested in is the journey that we take. Jesus wants us to learn to rely on Him. You know, in the Bible, there's a story. Joshua. Do you know Joshua? Right, Joshua, it's Moses' intern. You know, he was learning to be a leader. You know, when Moses was taking the people out from Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, lifting up his staff, Red Sea parted. Joshua was there, watching every step, learning. You know, in the 40 years that they were going around, you know, all the leadership problem that Moses had, Joshua was there learning. Right? I believe Moses would have, you know, nudged Joshua, teach Joshua, impart to him, instruct him. Okay, but as soon as they cross as soon as they enter the promised land, Moses was not there anymore. You know, because Moses didn't manage to get into the promised land, Joshua has to lead. And one of his biggest assignments that Joshua has to do was to enter Jericho. He has to bring down the wall. You know, if Joshua would have just followed exactly what Moses does, he would have stand in front of the Jericho wall and raise up his staff. Come down. Nothing is coming down, right? He would have tried to do some of the things that Moses does. And this is what a lot of us do, right? We've tried to follow our leaders. That's what the leader said. But it was crazy. The first thing that God told Joshua to do was, oh, just walk around quietly. Walk around the wall, don't say a word. And on the seventh day, shout and the wall will come down. You know, if I'm Joshua, I was like, seriously? What about the staff? I still have Moses' staff, right? I can raise it up. God was teaching Joshua something. God was teaching Joshua, you got to listen to me. Of all the things that you learn from Moses, the strategy, the technique, it's all good. But the thing that Joshua learned the most from Moses is to speak to God directly, is to hear from God directly. That's the greatest impartation that Moses has given to Joshua. And because of that, he managed to listen, seek God for counsel. And God shows him that, hey, I have a different way. Okay. And because he has that skill right now, it comes in so useful because he has to face many different enemies throughout in the promised land. Okay. And because he knows how to seek God directly, how to get counsel from God directly, all the different things that has happening, he do not have to worry about just one technique. Okay. God is more interested in our journey to be with him, to learn from him, to reconcile to him. I want to encourage you to seek God in all areas of your life, to seek counsel from him. I do actually really want to encourage you to ask Jesus to reveal what's really in your heart. To reveal to you the areas in your life that you possibly need to submit to him. Remember the time the rich young ruler? He comes to God and said, Jesus, I have done all these things. What else do I need to do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, sell everything and give it to the poor. Or remember the time when Jesus was talking to a group of people, he says, hate your father, your mother, hate your sisters and your brothers, then you can be my disciples. Do you seriously think that Jesus is against money? No. Jesus knows exactly what is stopping that young man from truly fulfilling his potential. Even more so, do you seriously think that Jesus asks us to hate our families? We talk about family first. But during that time, Jesus recognized that some of the people in that group have placed family above him. They have idolized their family. They always use family first as an excuse. And Jesus wants to address that moment. So it's the same for us. When we come to Jesus, are you ready to allow Jesus to reveal what's truly in your heart? Just think about that a little bit. See, only Jesus, because he knows us best, he loves us the best, he wants to reconcile us back to God. Only Jesus, the wonderful counselor, can give us the wisdom to truly examine our hearts so that we can come back to God. This series is called The Gift. Right? This series is called The Gift. When it's a gift, that means there's an intention for someone to receive the gift. Okay? I don't just buy a gift and leave it under the Christmas tree. I actually have an intention to give it to someone. So when God was thinking of the gift, he has an intention to give it to each and every one of us. I'm going to say something controversial here. We have always said, you know, as a church, we always say that Christmas is not about us. Christmas is not about you. Christmas is not about me. Christmas is really about Jesus. But actually, while we celebrate Jesus during Christmas, do you know that Christmas is really about you? Christmas is really about me? Christmas happens because God gave his son to us. He wants to give us that gift. He has you in his mind. Each and every one of us in his mind. So I want to speak to some of our believers right here. You know, if you've been a follower of Christ, I want to address something to you first. While we approach this season, this end of the year, can we reflect back? What are the areas in our life that we have failed to seek counsel from God? What are the areas of life that we have taken Jesus out of it? Have there been any areas of your life that God is actually going to speak to you now or in the coming weeks to lay it down so that you can come back to Him? Can we close our eyes, please? So that we can focus and give privacy to the people around us. If you are a believer, and you have excluded Jesus in your life, you know, yes, you come to church, yes, you go to Connect Group, yes, you even serve in a ministry. But you know there are certain areas in your life that you have not allowed God to come in. There are certain areas in your life that you have strived to try to do it on your own. I want to tell you that God is actually interested in every area. And he wants to bring you to that place where you can have a deeper relationship with Him. If that's you, just quietly slip up your hand in acknowledgement that you're going to invite Jesus back into your lives so that you can continue to honor Him and to bring Him glory. If that's you, why don't you slip up your hand in acknowledgement of that? Thank you. Thank you for those hands. If you do not know who Jesus is, if you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you this opportunity to invite Jesus into your heart right now. Jesus knows you. He knows you in and out. And He wants to take you to a journey where He can pull out the potential in you, where He can call out your destiny, your purpose. Jesus loves you. That's the reason for Christmas. He came into this world so that you can be reconciled back to God. If that's you and you want to receive Christ into your heart, into your lives, would you please lift up your hand? God, we thank you, the Lord, that you are our wonderful counselor. Lord, we thank you, that Lord, that you came into this world to die on that cross so that we can reconcile back to you, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord God, Father, that Lord, even as you call us, Lord God, Father, to look to you in the areas of our life, Lord, we come before you this afternoon right now, this morning right now, and ask you to reveal in our hearts areas, oh Lord God, that we need to submit to you. Areas, oh God, Father, that we know that's not pleasing to you. Lord, we ask you, oh Lord God, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to daily speak to us, oh Lord God, Father, and to guide us. Thank you for Christmas. And we want to receive that gift from you, oh Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.